You're listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast, episode number 90. Welcome to the All Day Rock Off podcast, episode number 90. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. The All Day Rock Off podcast focuses on the GRT and rucking community and includes interviews, motivation, and advice to keep you informed and get you ready for your next event. In this episode, we have an interview with Beth Zimmerman, who is the founder and executive director for Pets for Patriots. This is a pretty timely interview because if you're listening to this on release day, March 1st is tomorrow, and it's the start of GoRuck's third monthly rucking challenge event. This one's called Ruck Your Dog, and it's the third year that they've put on this fundraiser for Pets for Patriots. I reached out to Beth about being on the show, and I'm very excited to have her here because I've liked their organization for years, and for people who are taking part in the monthly rucking challenge that benefits them, I think it'd be awesome if you knew more about the charity that you're helping out. The flip side to this is if you're not registered yet for Ruck Your Dog, hopefully this will motivate you to register, pledge some miles, and help out that awesome organization. Before we get into the interview, as always, I would like to quickly give some thanks to those who have left reviews on either Apple Podcasts or on our Facebook page. Today, we have a 5-star review from Apple Podcasts. I've been a GRT since 2013 and have been rucking since 2012. I'm currently training for Star Course Phoenix and have loved all the suggestions for your podcast. I also like the YouTube videos. They've been very helpful. Steve, thank you so much for taking the time to leave that 5-star review. I'm really excited that you're taking part in a Star Course event. My Star Course Seattle of 2018 was a ton of fun, probably one of the best events that I've ever done. And so I hope you have a great time at the Phoenix one this year. I'm glad you're enjoying the podcast episodes, and I'm really excited that you're enjoying the YouTube videos, because those are always the ones that I'm most nervous about posting. This upcoming interview is about the Ruck Your Dog virtual event that GoRuck is putting on. Some quick pieces of information about that event before we get into the interview with Beth. There's 6 different distances you can register for: 5K, 10 miles, 25 miles, 50 miles, 75, and then 100 miles. The 5K patch falls in line with the previous 2 rucking challenges that GoRuck has put on. That patch is free. The 10 miles is a $25 donation, 25 is $35, 50 is 50 bucks, 75 is 75, and 100 is $100. The difference in the patches: the 100 mile patch is gold and it looks pretty awesome. So I'm definitely tempted to register for the 100 miles and try and earn that gold patch. You've got the month of March to complete the event. There's some awesome t-shirts for sale as well. Links to everything in the show notes. Or you can head on over to acrt.us/ruckyourdog. That should take you there as well. Thank you so much for all the support, and I hope you enjoy this interview with Beth. Today, I'm talking with Beth Zimmerman, who is the founder and executive director of Pets for Patriots. I'm really excited to have her on this call. We're going to be talking about the Pets for Patriots GoRuck event, that virtual event, Ruck Your Dog. And we're just going to learn more about the Pets for Patriots organization. Beth, thank you so much for being on the call with me today. And how are you doing?
Great, Brian. Thank you so much for having me. So excited to chat with you today and introduce your listeners to our organization, to our partnership with GoRuck, and hopefully get some more people involved in this year's Ruck Your Dog event.
That's the goal. I signed up for the first year, for the second year, the third year's come along. That's this year, 2019, and I haven't decided what mileage I'm going to go for yet, but I'm 100% going to be signed up.
I was just about to ask you that, and just to sort of lay down the gauntlet, I'm going for 2 100-mile patches this year.
That is exciting.
Yeah, so.
That's quite the goal. So who's going to be joining you on your long distances?
My 11-year-old rescue dog, Benny. I adopted him after volunteering at my local city shelter where I met him. He became one of my regular dog walks, and He's a boxer pity mix, and this dog just loves to walk. We regularly walk 6 to 7 miles a day, regardless of weather. And some days a little more, some days a little less, but that's pretty much our average. So we're going to stay to the high end of that average so that we can hit at least 200 miles in the month of March. And 100 of those miles we are devoting to the memory of my senior dog, Bunny. I know a very similar name, who died in 2016. And the other 100 miles are being dedicated to all the dogs and cats in shelters who still need a home.
That's phenomenal. And I'm sorry to hear about Bunny.
Thanks. That's, you know, she was 9 when we adopted her. We had a few wonderful years with her, and it was just her time.
So Pets for Patriots and GoRuck, where did this come from? Did you end up reaching out to Jason? Did he reach out to you? I would love to hear the roots of the Ruck Your Dog event.
You know, I'm embarrassed to say that I don't remember how Jason and I first connected, but it was a few years ago, not long after I founded Pets for Patriots. And he and I stayed in touch, and he was always looking for a way to support our work through the GoRuck organization. Jason, as you know, is a military veteran. Our charity serves military veterans, so there was certainly a natural synergy already there. And he approached us a few years ago about the idea of doing this virtual ruck, which we loved. It came at a great time of year because the spring, as you may not know, tends to be a slow time for many charities. People tend to give more towards the second half of the year. So it was a wonderful time to re-energize our work because our work is 365 days a year. Our veterans need us all the time. So having this participation in the spring was really wonderful. We loved the idea of the event, and we were just absolutely stunned the first year out of the gate, raised $40,000, and how many people around the country were posting pictures of themselves rucking with their dogs, a couple of cats, and there was even one turtle, I remember. Kind of got to remember when someone's rucking with a turtle.
Yeah, you definitely won't forget seeing that picture online, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was cute. So Jason has just been a nice virtual friend and supporter of our organization. And then when he gave us the idea of this Ruck Your Dog, it just instantly felt right. And it felt like a great match.
And it seemed like it must have, you know, really kicked off well, because it happened a second year.
And the second year we did even better. We raised $47,500. So that was just phenomenal. We were so impressed with how much better the second year did, and we're even more enthusiastic for this year because it coincides with the monthly rucking challenge that GoRuck recently started. So we are just so excited to have even more people involved, whether they walk 1 mile, 10, or 100, it doesn't matter. We just want people to experience what so many others have experienced throughout the years in this wonderful event.
Congratulations on that. That is a phenomenal amount of money raised.
Just to put that money in context, last year, for example, in 2018, that fully funded 190 veteran pet adoptions. And each one of those includes pre-adoption counseling, a very generous contribution towards Welcome Home Pet Food and Basics, and post-adoption follow-up for a year. So that's 190 veterans and 190 shelter pets who were united thanks to the hard work and passion of everybody who rocked for us.
Wow. And that is a lot of services to give to each individual adoption.
You know, the follow-up is actually something that people tell us they love the most. Of course, they really enjoy the Welcome Home contribution. It helps defray that, you know, high cost of bringing a pet home. You initially need food and a bed and supplies and toys, and it can get expensive. So that really does help give somebody a leg up in bringing a pet home and making it more affordable. And on top of that, many of our shelter partners deeply discount or in some cases even waive their adoption fees for veterans in our program altogether. So our whole program isn't just about adoption and making pet adoption affordable over the life of that animal, but also preventing that animal from being surrendered back to the shelter, whether it's due to short-term financial hardship or people being unsure about how to address, you know, normal minor post-adoption issues that can, you know, crop up with a dog or cat. So that's really where we find our follow-up is so important. We are a resource for our veterans, both before, during, and after they adopt. And many of them just appreciate the sense of community that we create, and they stay in touch with us for years. And we just love that. It's just, it's as rewarding for us as we hope it is for them.
That's wonderful. When we adopted Watson, he was somewhere between 7 and 8 years old, and he came with his own slew of issues because of that. And I'm so thankful that my wife grew up with dogs. She's had at least one dog her whole life. And so she knew how to address a lot of them because he was my first dog, and I would have been very confused.
Yeah, you probably would have felt a little lost. You probably would have wondered, did I make the right decision?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you'd have all those thoughts. You know, what did we get ourselves into? What's going on? Is he the only dog that does this? And so I can completely understand how that post-adoption support is just crucial in making sure that, you know, dogs stay in home. And
yep. One thing we found that was really interesting is the animals that are available for adoption through our program, through our shelter partners around the country, have to meet one of four criteria: either 2 years of age or older, or special needs, or homeless for 6 months or more, or a dog who's 40 pounds or larger at the time of adoption. And the reason we focus on dogs and cats who meet at least one of those criteria is that these are the animals that are most likely to die in a shelter or to languish in chronic homelessness if it's a shelter that, you know, keeps pets indefinitely. So our job is to inspire veterans in our program to adopt these animals who are more overlooked, many of whom have had very sad lives prior to coming to a shelter. Some are victims of abuse, neglect, abandonment, what have you. Others are simply turned in years after, you know, their original family may have adopted them for any number of reasons. So it's usually some hardship that is placing them in the shelter in the first place. So our whole goal is to inspire veterans to adopt these more overlooked pets. And one thing that we found was really interesting is, you know, as you noted with your own dog, you know, he kind of came with some issues and had a story of his own, is most of our veterans feel that same way about themselves. You know, regardless of when they served, we serve veterans from World War II to those who are currently in service. Many veterans, you know, have some defining experience or moment in their service, some more traumatic than others, that they really carry with them for many years and in some cases throughout their lives. And they tell us how much they feel that helping their dog or cat overcome their own issues has helped them deal with their own and not also dwell so much on their own in an unhealthy way. So these animals that, you know, may seem broken to some people really are saviors to veterans who are trying to reconnect with their own lives.
That's amazing to hear. And that makes a lot of sense, the way you put it like that.
Yeah, it was an unintended consequence, actually, of our decision to focus on these more overlooked pets is that, you know, veterans feel broken too. And many of them do, certainly not all of them. And again, they, in some cases, they even adopt a pet who they see as having similar issues of their own. So it's really been very rewarding, to be honest, because we've had some veterans who've come into our program really struggling, sometimes taking a lot of medication to help them get through the day. And they adopt the right pet fits their needs, their lifestyle, their temperament, and what have you, and it really turns their life around. We've had quite a few veterans tell us that they've been able over time with their doctor's supervision to get off all of their medication because their pet has really helped them reconnect with their lives in a really healthy way and reconnect with other people too. And I think that's one of the things that's so exciting about Rock Your Dog is it's a wonderful opportunity to get out there, not only with your pet, if you have one, or to maybe, you know, take a shelter pet out for a day, but to get out there with other people. And as you probably know from now being a first-time dog parent, it's a different kind of connection when you go out and walk by yourself down the street versus walk down the street with your dog. You probably create a lot of, you know, social interactions just by having your dog with you because people want to say, hey, that's a cute dog, or can I pet your dog, or what's your dog's name, or anything like that. So those types of little casual interactions really help many veterans who are having difficulty socializing or getting out of the house or meeting other people accomplish those things.
I definitely notice a difference when I'm rucking alone. Usually it's, people see me with a backpack and it looks like I might be struggling a little bit and they kind of get uneasy or want nothing to do with that versus when I'm out there with Watson, a very handsome older gentleman dog, and everyone wants to come up and give him some pets and some love. There's major differences there.
I kind of joke that everybody in the neighborhood knows my dog's name, but they don't know who I am, and that's just fine. They know Benny, they don't know Beth, they don't know my name, but they know my dog's name, so it's cool.
That is cool. So, Pets for Patriots, where did the idea for this organization come from, and how did you get it started?
Those are great questions. It was actually 2009. I remember very distinctly. I had just taken my mom and her companion home from a Memorial Day barbecue. He was a World War II veteran, a belly gunner who flew 33 sorties over enemy territory. And I was washing the dishes, where I get a lot of good ideas, I'm ashamed to admit. And the idea of pets and veterans literally just came into my head. I know that sounds kind of cliche, but it's true. And I started to germinate a little bit about why are those ideas, what are those two things doing in my head? How do they kind of fit together? And I started to do some research and really discover that these are two different populations, obviously people and pets, but each with very complementary needs for companionship with one another. And could I find a way to bring them together that was a positive experience and an enduring experience for them both? That's when I decided to focus on the more overlooked animals at shelters, the ones that really need that extra bit of inspiration on the part of someone to adopt them. And we've always been open to veterans from any stage of their careers, from World War II, again, to those currently in service, because people young and old all benefit from having a companion pet in their lives. I started to put together a business plan. I had my own consulting practice at the time, and business planning was something that I did very naturally, and I'm a super organized kind of person. I like to figure things out and plan a little bit. I don't totally just dive in right away. And I had a lot of people who I knew from business throughout the years who I had look at the plan and poke holes in it and ask questions and challenge it so that I could make it better. And then once I had that all set, I, went out about, getting a website. I had someone who loved the idea so much they donated a website developer, had a legal firm who does our pro bono work to this day, helped us in getting our 501c3, and we were kind of, off to the races. And by we, I mean initially it was just me, because it was, it was just a new organization, and I still had my day job. And while I still had my day job, I was putting together the basics of what would ultimately become Pets for Patriots as we see it today. And it took off much more quickly after that first year than I expected. I think our first year we did all of 5 adoptions, because after all, who knew us? We were nobody. We had no shelters. We had no veterinary partners. Everything was starting from scratch. But I really treated, even though I had my own practice, I treated starting Pets for Patriots also like a full-time job, and really tried to put the architecture together to make it work. And so our first year we had 5 adoptions, our second year we had 75, and so forth. And every year we have just grown exponentially. We are national, and as of this conversation, we have 2,169 adoptions and counting to date. And every day that number goes up, and people can visit our homepage to see where we are at any given moment in terms of the number of adoptions that we have done.
Well, congratulations. That's absolutely amazing.
Thanks. It feels good.
I bet. And I'm sure those first 5 adoptions, you're just learning the ropes on everything that needs to be done around them. If anyone who's new to anything knows that the first time, second time, third time is much harder, most likely, than the 1,000th time or 2,000th time when you have a game plan in front of you.
Absolutely. And, we're always about continuous improvement. And, you're always going to make mistakes from the beginning. Certainly that was the case. You make a mistake, you're not sure what you're doing, everything is very new, but we got over that fairly quickly. Again, we still have this whole idea of continuous improvement. We're always looking to see how can we serve our veterans better, how can we save more animals. In 2017, we made a really exciting change to our program where veterans could adopt up to 2 Pets for Patriots eligible dogs or cats, either at the same time or over time. Our previous limit was 1 pet at a time. And this has really helped us save not only just more animals in general, but more animals that have a hard time being adopted, like bonded pairs.
Yes.
So think of a sibling pair of dogs or cats that grew up their whole lives together, find themselves in a shelter together. It would be heartbreaking to separate them, you know, in the middle of their lives. But finding an adopter who wants to take 2 pets at a time is not that easy. So by making this program change, we really opened the door for veterans who were inclined to bring 2 pets into their home, again, either at the same time or over time, make that happen. And that has really been a very popular change to our program. So we're always looking to see, how can we make, again, the experience for our veterans better? How can we save more animals? And how can we do all of those things in the most fiscally responsible way so that we are being good stewards of our donors' support?
Absolutely. And that's the first thing that came to mind when you mentioned that was bonded pairs. And you had previously mentioned that, you know, the older animals, that they can linger longer at shelters. That's why one of the reasons why you go after them. But I can only imagine that a bonded pair of older animals, that would just be so much more difficult to get them adopted, because not only do you have someone, you need to find someone who wants an older pet, you have to find someone who wants 2 older pets.
Absolutely.
And I'm just so excited to hear that's going well, that's been a successful program that you've implemented back in, did you say 2017?
Well, the 2009 is when we were founded, and we had our first adoptions in 2010. So we were, you know, legally formed in 2009. We put our website together. We started our little bit of social media in 2009, but we really started in earnest in 2010. And then I think it was about maybe 2 years after that, maybe 3, I can't remember exactly, when I had to make the decision to give up my business practice that I had. I was a solopreneur. I would fly around the country to my clients, to give that up because Pets for Patriots, the needs of it were becoming so much greater. It was really, it became a thing, you know, and it required, you know, somebody leading it full time. And I was very honored that the board has given me that opportunity to do that.
That's a tough decision to make. So kudos to you.
Yeah, it was a tough decision. It was a tough decision, I have to admit.
Solopreneur is the dream for a lot of entrepreneurs, for a lot of people who feel trapped in a traditional business environment where they say, if I could just get something going and then I could work for myself, I could do exactly what I want to do. And so it sounds like you are doing that, and to kind of trade that for this founder executive director role for Pets for Patriots. That's a tough decision, I'm sure it was, to make, but I just want to say thank you for making it, because you've done some absolutely phenomenal things with Pets for Patriots.
Thank you. You know, it's tough to make on for practical reasons. It was easy to make for emotional reasons, because this is by far the most gratifying thing I've ever done in my life and ever been a part of. And the knowledge that our organization is changing and literally saving lives, not just of animals, but of veterans as well. We have a lot of veterans who tell us that their pet has given them a reason to live. It's why they wake up in the morning, and it has really given them their lives back. Those are really powerful things to hear. And that's what motivates all of us here at Pets for Patriots, knowing that what we're doing is truly, truly making a difference. And there's no replacement for that.
And when you word it that way, it makes complete sense why it would eventually be an easy decision to give up the solopreneur life and be here at Pets for Patriots. Because the difference you're making, it's, like you said, you're saving lives.
It's good stuff.
It sure is. We just talked about where Pets for Patriots came from, you know, how it was founded, how you grew. Were you surprised at your growth? Was there anything that was shocking about that to you?
That first year, I think I was a little, I guess, disappointed in myself, feeling like it wasn't getting off the ground fast enough. And I knew just instinctively that once we had enough adoptions, and I didn't know what that number was, under our belts, and we could share some of those stories, that the success would speak for itself and that the stories would be sort of the proof of our concept that this really works and that there are many veterans who neither need nor qualify for a service animal but would really benefit tremendously from the companionship of a, you know, quote-unquote ordinary pet. And that's something we feel very, very strongly about. So I think there was just a turning point probably in between year two and three where we had that momentum and we had enough success stories repeated one after the other that were really showing that we were on the right track. We could nibble around the edges, making changes and improvements. That's something we always have done and always will continue to do. But the model really made sense and really worked. And then in 2012, I have to tell you, Brian, I nearly fell off my chair. We were contacted by military.com, which is, you know, one of, if not the premier, you know, military websites in the country. And they were looking to start a pet channel, and they wanted our content to be syndicated as the primary content on that channel. I literally almost fell off my chair. So I still pinch myself when I think about it. So that was the beginning of a really wonderful relationship that lasted for a few years until they changed the overall architecture of their website and did away with the pet channel. But it developed into a very robust place to go for not only our adoption stories, but occasionally stories from other sources as well, and resources for military pet parents and all that kind of stuff. It was really terrific. And it was wonderful for us, not only because it put us in front of an audience that was much bigger than we could ever reach at that time, that would be inclined to want to, you know, adopt through our organization, but also it got us in the habit of making sure that every week we had great original content to share, because that was part of what military.com wanted from us, a weekly story. And thankfully, we were at that time in our growth where we could make that happen. And one of the things people tell us they love most about visiting our website is going to our Wet Nose blog and reading story after story about people being transformed and saved, and animals who, again, were adopted from, in some cases, just terrible circumstances, or animals who face bad misperceptions in the public, like bully breed type dogs, and the remarkable bond and relationship that people and pet form together. And these are their stories. You know, we feel so privileged to tell their stories, and you just, it's the authenticity of who we are is when you go to our blog and you read what people are saying when they share the experience they have, both going through the military, what made them, and you know, become inspired to adopt a pet, and how that pet has changed their lives and how they have changed that pet's lives. So, you know, I definitely credit the discipline we had to develop in working with military.com to get us on that path of, you know, regular weekly content, and we have stuck with it ever since, and it's just been a real blessing, because it's the heart and soul of what we do and who we are.
Congratulations. And I'll have a link to the Wet Nose blog in the show notes. So if anyone's listening, they want to check that out, I'm sure you can Google the Wet Nose blog, but you can also visit the show notes and get a link to that. And one of the things that I'm sure must have been really exciting when military.com reached out is that by being on their website, it kind of gives you, I don't want to say validity, but extra cred.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
When people are searching for your organization, and they, you know, whenever I'm looking for a new place to donate to, or looking into a charity or something, I always Google at the start and see who else is talking about that organization, because I might not have all the hours in the day to look through their financials, but I would like to think that if some of these other organizations talked about them, then maybe they had. And so it's got to be nice to have things like that happen.
It was very validating. And another very validating experience that happened shortly after that time is we applied to the Combined Federal Campaign. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's the federal government's employee workplace giving program. And the federal government is very stringent in evaluating charities that can participate in this program. And initially, one of the things they required, among many requirements, was a financial audit, an independent audit. Well, we were too small at the time to be legally required to do an audit, but we knew we wanted to apply to this wonderful giving program so that we could reach federal employees who might be interested to donate through their workplace. And that's obviously a pretty large audience. So we, you know, undertook an audit, and it was a wonderful experience, not because doing an audit is fun. It certainly isn't by any means. I can attest to that. But it, again, it was something that gave us the discipline and the credibility we have. And every since then, even though that requirement has been somewhat changed, we still voluntarily submit to an outside independent audit. And it's, you know, long, it's detailed, it's involved, it's a lot of work on our part to make that happen. But we post all of our audited financials and our forms 990 on our website so that people can see that we're transparent in what we do. They can see how we use their donor dollars. And again, it is another level of, you know, validity and credibility that not only do we share those financials with everybody right off the bat, but that, you know, we have the imprimatur of the combined federal campaign, which we are now going into, I think, our fifth year of participating.
Audits are, I mean, they're incredibly stressful.
They are.
So I don't know if I should say this or not, but I have, one of my degrees is in accounting. And so I've done, I've never worked as an accountant, but I've done.
You feel my pain, right?
I do. I've performed audits for classwork. And I perform an audit every year on All Day Ruckoff to look at, you know, where's the money coming from? Where's the money going? Just for my own benefit, because you can find things. I mean, those are not something that most people would ever voluntarily subject themselves to.
Yeah, then not for the lighthearted. You know, we recognize we're, even though we're national, we're still a small charity at heart. We have, you know, only 3 employees. Everybody else is a volunteer. We have a wonderful board, which really helps support my efforts to lead the organization and help, you know, steward us in a good direction. And it's important for us to find those opportunities where we can help people feel comfortable. Like you said, you know, when you are looking to donate to a charity, maybe you don't have a ton of time to do, you know, a lot of research. You know, certain things are going to matter to you. And we try to find those things that we believe matter to people when they're looking to see where they're going to spend their hard-earned money, whether it's $5 a month, $50 a month, or what have you. And we want to give them that comfort that their dollars are being well spent. So it's a painful experience, but it's one we go through every year because we just think it's that important. And I know it was sort of a long ways back to what you were saying about military.com, you know, giving us that street cred that we really needed at the time, but I truly believe everything happened for a reason at the right time. Military.com happened at the right time. Our decision to participate in the CFC, Combined Federal Campaign, and start this annual process of auditing, even though we didn't legally have to do so, was a great thing. And I just think as an organization, we've hopefully made more right than wrong decisions along the way that are helping us grow and continue to serve more veterans and save more pets, because that's really, at the end of the day, what we're all about.
That's perfect. And I'll just say that as someone who makes donations to a multitude of different charities, any charity that will voluntarily subject themselves to an audit, that definitely raises their level in my mind, because I know those aren't fun. And the fact that they would do that just to show people behind the curtains on the financials and all of that, so to speak, that goes far with me.
Thank you. I have to make sure our auditors don't listen to this podcast if they hear me say how not fun their audit is. I might hurt their feelings.
You know, I think they might be a little more concerned if you said audits are fun.
I know. I think they know. Every year I complain and say, I'm not having any fun.
So you mentioned that the Wet Nose blog is kind of one of the probably the pillars of Pets for Patriots. You've got weekly content on there, amazing stories. People come to read the stories on your website. Do you have any favorite stories or memorable stories that you would like to share with the listeners?
Oh gosh, there's so many, I have to say. I don't know that I have favorites because I feel like I have a new favorite every month. You know, there's just another story that just I find is so touching. I know that sounds like a total cop out, and it probably is, but it's true.
No, it's not a cop out at all. I've been asked the question, who's been your favorite guest on the show? And that is it's a tough one because everyone's your favorite.
Exactly, for different reasons. I think there's some stories, though, that really stand out in my mind, perhaps more than others, and I believe also really resonate with our audiences as well. One of them is a story we published back in 2016 about an Afghanistan veteran, an Air Force veteran, and she was returned home quite traumatized. I mean, literally unable to leave her home for days at a time. I mean, she was, you know, definitely not functioning the way, you know, a normal healthy person would want to function. She was, you know, trapped in her own home because of her emotional isolation. And she adopted a dog through our program who himself, you know, he also had some issues of his own. I don't remember what they were off the top of my head, but he helped bring her out of her shell and literally get her out of the house. Because as you know, from having a dog, the dog doesn't walk himself. You've got to, you know, put your coat on, put the leash on, whatever, get out the door and give your dog what he or she needs. You know, a nice walk, you know, chase a squirrel or two, you know, sniff some trees, whatever it happens to be. And just the act of getting out every day with her dog, which has helped her get out of the house, she, you know, literally said she couldn't even go grocery shopping. She barely left the house and medication and counseling were not helping and she knew she had to do something else. And she started to notice after she adopted Tank a real change in her ability to, you know, get out, of course, and interact with other people because pets are great social lubricants. They allow you to interact with people in a totally non-threatening way because it's usually not about you when someone's talking to you. It's about the pet. Just like I was saying before, I walk around in the neighborhood. Nobody knows my name, which is fine, but they know my dog because most of the conversations we may have as we're walking around are about the dog. Like, oh, is that the cutest coat? Where did you get that for him? Or what's his name? Can I come pet him? Is he friendly? Where did you adopt him? Whatever. Those kinds of conversations help you reconnect if social isolation is one of the challenges you may have because it's a very non-threatening kind of conversation to have. Nobody's saying, hey, what did you do in the military? How come you don't leave your house? Those are not the conversations people are having with you. So that one was really, really powerful. And she did say something that did stick in my mind. She said about companion pets, they force us to be better people. And I know from my own life, you know, I found that to be true. I think, you know, the dogs that we've had as either family or me now personally, they make you better. They require you to be caring and compassionate and nurturing in maybe ways that you didn't even know that you were. So that certainly is one of our more memorable stories. Another one, this is from, I think we are soon to be publishing a follow-up story to an adoption that was from many years ago. A Marine Corps veteran who shattered literally and figuratively by an IED blast. I forget if it was in Afghanistan or in Iraq because he served in both. He came back obviously with physical injuries, with PTSD as well, post-traumatic stress. And he went to a shelter, you know, after joining our program, and he initially thought he needed and wanted a service animal. But many veterans, even if they are disabled to some degree, don't qualify for a service animal and might not even need one as well. And there was this one dog at the shelter that kind of picked him. And he ended up adopting him, this dog named Otis. And he ended up saying, he's the best medicine I ever had. So those kinds of very simple yet profound statements from our veterans about how their pets have changed their lives. And obviously, getting a pet out of a shelter and giving it a wonderful, loving life has transformed that animal. I think those stories really, you know, stick with me the most. We've had many stories like that. Those are maybe some of their earlier ones that come to mind. So they really made a lasting impression on me. But I think that depending upon, you know, what type of approach you have in life or what kinds of issues you may have yourself, just speaking in generally, we've got a story for you that's going to resonate and really speak to your heart. So I do hope that your listeners, you know, take the time to go to our blog and explore some of the stories there. They're all gripping. They all have something to teach us. I learn every time I read a story about one of our veterans and their pets. I learn something, and I hope that your audience has the same experience.
Thank you for sharing those. Those are amazing. And it's so true that when you have a pet and you're out there, they're walking them. Well, first off, like you said, you have to take them outside to walk because that's a big one. And so it gets you outside. And when you're out there walking them, no one really cares about me when I'm walking.
Yeah,
Watson.
No one cares about you. I know, right?
Yeah, no one asks me any questions about myself. It's always about Watson, how he's doing and what's going on with him. And, you know, I think I'm in the same boat as you. More people know his name than my name.
I mean, I, for myself, I'm a naturally very shy person. I wouldn't ordinarily, you know, go out of my way to initiate conversation with someone, especially someone I didn't know, if I'm out and about. But it's so much easier to do with my dog, especially if it's something about him.
Yes.
I could talk about him all day long.
And you have a talking point there.
Yeah, and I'm happy to, exactly. And as long as it's not about me, I'm cool, because I don't want to talk about me. I'd rather talk about Benny, you know? So I think that that type of experience is really very helpful for people who, you know, maybe just for whatever reason need a little extra help getting socially connected.
Yeah, I mean, that's completely fair. I consider myself to be fairly introverted. And so having something like Watson, like my dog, when I'm out there on a walk, I mean, it gives me something to talk about, a talking point, so that I'm not just standing there, you know, awkwardly trying to figure out how to say goodbye to someone you only see once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see how that would translate over.
Yeah, I don't know that our veterans that have cats have the exact same experience, because obviously you don't have to walk a cat, but a lot of the benefits of companionship and love and caring and nurturing and having to have a schedule and that responsibility in a good way for having that life to take care of, you know, still apply to the cats in our program. And I'd say about 15% on average overall of our annual adoptions are to cats. The vast majority are dogs, but I don't want folks to think that we're not about the kitties too. We help them as well.
And it's shown right in your logo. I have to compliment you on the Pets or Patriots logo. That is by far one of my favorite logos that I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you. I did not personally design it. Some dear friends designed it and donated to us. So we're very grateful for their talents. And we get compliments on it, you know, all the time, because I think it's just so powerful and so simple and so beautiful. And obviously I love it as well.
And as you should get compliments on it. I mean, it's very much compliment worthy.
Thank you.
So I'm really excited about Ruck Your Dog. Ruck Your Dog is, again, the fundraiser that GoRuck is currently running for Pets for Patriots. And if I recall correctly, there's 6 different patches that people can register and decide miles for, how many miles they're going to ruck. One thing that I thought was really cool this year, I don't know if it was explicitly stated in previous years, is that you don't have to ruck with a dog or a pet. You can go out and get your miles in and support Pets for Patriots. If people are in the boat where they might not have a dog, or they might not have a dog that they, you know, a friend's dog or a family member's dog that they can walk, you had mentioned that you've spent hours each weekend volunteering, walking dogs at shelters. Is that something that people could do? Could they call a shelter and ask if they could volunteer to walk dogs to get some miles in for this?
Absolutely. In fact, the very first year, 2017, when we had the first Ruck Your Dog event with GoRuck, my dog Bunny had previously passed away that, you know, prior year. I had not yet adopted my dog Benny. That wasn't until late November of 2017. So I didn't have a dog in my household, but I was volunteering at my local shelter. So I counted my hours and miles every week that I was walking dogs towards my ruck. And again, this is all in the honor system. So that works as well. We definitely encourage people to go down to their local shelter, because not only are you getting in miles with the event itself, but you're helping an animal get out of the shelter, get some much needed exercise, reduce their stress, and who knows, maybe you might find your new best friend that way. It's certainly how I met mine when I adopted Benny. As I think I had mentioned earlier, I'd been walking him for about 6 months by the time I adopted him. So it's a great way to get acquainted with animals who really need your companionship and your time, and who hopefully will end up finding a home through your efforts. In fact, if you do end up walking any shelter animals, ask the shelter if you could put one of those Adopt Me vests that the shelters typically have on the dog, so that when you are out in the community, people know that that dog is available for adoption and is looking for a home.
That's amazing. And I love your story. I love love that story. When we adopted Watson, we had just been thinking about possibly adopting a dog. We didn't have anything planned. We didn't really have anything to do. It was a Friday afternoon. We're like, well, let's just, you know, go to the local shelter and visit some dogs. And so we did. And we met Watson there. And then that night, we both dreamt about Watson. And we woke up the next morning, like, we have to go back there and get him today.
Oh, that's so nice.
And so it's so true, right? You can go with the intention of just hanging out with dogs, with walking a dog or two, and you can end up finding your new best friend.
And it's really amazing, as I'm sure you know from Watson, that, you know, how they are in a shelter only gives you some glimpse into their personality and what they really like, because it's not a natural environment. It's super stressful. Even the best run shelters, they're noisy. They can sometimes be chaotic. You know, it's not a natural environment for an animal to live in a shelter. I mean, they are really meant to be a temporary refuge. Unfortunately, sometimes, you know, animals spend, you know, way too much time in a shelter before they're adopted. And what I love so much about adoption is every day is another opportunity where I'm learning more about my dog. I mean, I've had him now, we've been together a little more than a year, we've been adopted, and he's still blossoming at almost 11 years old. He'll be 11 on Monday. He's still blossoming, and I'm learning things about his personality, and our communication is getting even stronger. Our bond gets even stronger. Sometimes I just look at him a certain way, or he looks at me a certain way, and I understand what he's telling me just because we've developed that bond. But I think that it's really important to give animals a chance. I mean, they're giving us a chance too. None of us are perfect. We all come to life with a story, with a past. And I think if we have that same compassion and that same understanding towards animals who are just looking for love and a home, I think people would be much more forgiving and much more patient when they take a new dog or cat home, and that animal is going to need some work and some time and some patience and some love. It's just the way it is, and we're all works in progress.
It's true. It is so true. None of us are perfect, and as long as you realize that, you know, that extends past us to our pets as well. You learn so much about them every day, and it's an amazing experience.
Getting back to the ruck, though, if anybody is rucking for us, and we hope they do, make sure to hashtag #RuckYourDog when you post your pictures, whether it's with or without a pet, so that we can all see on social media everybody out there enjoying their rucks and getting in their miles.
Yes, please, please hashtag #RuckYourDog, because personally, I follow that hashtag on Instagram and on Twitter so that I can see all the amazing pictures that come through. Because, I mean, if you ever are having a rough day and you want to smile, seeing pictures of people out there rucking with their dogs, there's almost nothing better.
And I don't know about you, but when I was looking at pictures last year, every other picture, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd love to go there. Oh, that looks so beautiful. I wonder where that is, you know? You see people in the most beautiful outdoor settings, or sometimes in an urban setting. It's like, wow, that's a really pretty city. I love the architecture there. Where is that, you know? So it's kind of fun as well, just from that sense of discovery, you know, seeing all the different places that, you know, people live and choose to ruck. And it's a lot of fun. I enjoy that aspect of it too.
It sure is. It sure is.
Oh, and Brian, don't forget, people, when they pledge their patches, they can also get a great Rock Your Dog t-shirt. Every year there's a new design, and this year the shirt is just gorgeous. So all the proceeds of that will be donated to Pets for Patriots as well. So the patches and the tees all ship in mid-April from Go Ruck. So we hope that people check out the t-shirt as well. And if they have a little extra room in their wallet to spare a few bucks for the shirt, to get one as well. I wear mine all the time, and they're just really high quality, and they're beautifully made, and the designs are just simple and awesome.
So you might appreciate this. So All Day Ruckoff started a YouTube channel this year, I guess 2018 it started. Mm-hmm. And in every video, I wear a different Go Ruck or Rucking or All Day Ruckoff related shirt. And the only shirt that I've gotten numerous comments on was last year's Ruck Your Dog shirt.
Oh. And
people were wondering where they can find it, how they can get one. And so when I put out the Ruck Your Dog 2019 announcement video, I mentioned that, you know, it's available. If you want one, save your money, get one. I believe they're $30. Go Ruck's covering the shipping on that. You know, the month of March is 31 days. So if you can scrounge a dollar a day, there's a shirt.
Less than a cup of coffee a day.
Yeah. And it's an awesome shirt. I love mine so much.
It's really soft. It's that really soft cotton that just lays so nicely. I just absolutely love it. I can't wait to get this year's shirt. It's just, and I, you know, being from New York, love black clothing. So this year's a black shirt, and the logo just looks so sharp on it. It's really beautiful.
Yes. So hit up goruck.com for the patches. You can pledge your miles. 100% of the net proceeds there are going to Pets for Patriots. And then also the shirts are on that website as well. There'll be links in the description, in the show notes. There's links all over. I think Goruck's got something big on their homepage about it right now. But please go over there, check it out. Personally, I love Pets for Patriots. And I was really excited the first year that they did this collaboration. I was really excited the second year. And I'm just super excited the third year, which is this year again.
So Brian, now I have to ask you, you know, we start off this conversation, you weren't sure how many miles you're going to pledge. Have you made up your mind yet?
I think I'm going to go for 100. That
gold, all right,
that gold
great.
Patch is amazing.
Awesome. It's nice, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. Obviously Watson won't be doing all 100 with me. He's very old now, but I'll be rocking them for him and spending some good time with him.
Well, Benny and I will put in some miles on Watson's behalf.
Thank you. He'll appreciate that. I'll let him know.
Yeah. Sure, please do.
So, Beth, is there anything else that you want to talk about, that you want to mention, shout-outs you want to give, just anything that we might have missed before we get going here?
Not that I can think of. I mean, obviously, we want to thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be introduced to your community, you know, have folks get acquainted with not only who we are and what we do, but hopefully encourage them to participate in this year's Ruck Your Dog. And we're always eternally grateful to the folks at Go Ruck who have decided to make this an annual event. That's just it's just such a wonderful thing. We already had, you know, folks a few weeks ago asking us when this year's event was going to be. So we really think that, you know, now in year three, it's developed a lot of momentum. People who've done it before have such a great time. So we're super grateful to everybody who has given their support to us in the past, whether it's through the Ruck Your Dog or through some other means. And Brian, of course, that includes you. I know that our organization has been the recipient of some donations from All Day Ruckoff. So thank you for that support. And we are just really excited to meet everybody on the trail. So hashtag Ruck Your Dog.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Ruckoff podcast. I really hope you enjoyed this interview with Beth. It was a blast having her on, learning more about the organization than even I knew about before. And I'm just really excited about the March Ruck Your Dog event. One reason I'm so excited is because then I'll be done lugging around 100 pounds in my ruck for that February event. But then obviously the more important reason is that I'm just really excited to support Pets for Patriots. Hopefully you learn more about the organization and can make the decision if you want to register for Ruck Your Dog or not. Links to do so are in the show notes, or you can just head on over to GoRock's website. They've got plenty of pictures and links to purchase stuff over there. If you want to support the podcast, as always, we would truly appreciate it if you would leave a review on either Apple Podcasts or on our Facebook page. You can search for All Day Rock Off and we should show right up. And I just want to say thank you so much for all the support. It's truly appreciated. And I hope you have an awesome March Rucking Challenge with GoRock. Don't forget, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive and drink hard, rock harder.